I'm going to read through Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, who being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. I want to read that verse again. But God, being rich in his mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. I want to read the last verse again to you. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Beforehand prepared that we would walk and do the good works that he has for us. There was a video I wanted to play, but Tim couldn't help me out with that one. Not saying, I did say name. Anyways, yeah, it was a video I did want to play, but I kind of wasn't wondering if it wasn't going to work, and then I really wanted it, and then of course it didn't work, and I was kind of debating through the week when I was talking to Connie, because I was like, if we don't get it, that's okay, whatever, we'll just move past. But now I really wanted it, and now it didn't want to work. So, again, the Lord's sovereignty. But I do want to say it a little bit to you. I just want to tell you a little bit about it. Rachel had sent it to me a little while ago, and it's to do with flowers blossoming. And since Blossom Festival, we just had it, flowers bloom, and they are very pretty, as I'm sure many of you know, and many who work with flowers. And my son, who has started to dabble in dirt, he is liking and enjoying that as well. But this video just presents an example of how there were seeds dormant in California. And then at one point, they ended up having a large amount of these flowers flourish because of the rains that come. So it was dry for some period of time, and these seeds were still there under the ground, but they hadn't blossomed yet. And then at one point, all of a sudden, they were everywhere. And it just reminds me of how gracious God is and how he knows what times are needed and when those times are needed for what's needed for that time. He knows what should come about at an exact time. He is not sitting back after he's set the time on the clock and then going, now I'll watch and we'll see how foolish some of them are, how incompetent some of them are, how disrespectful some of them are, how great and magnificent some of them are. He doesn't do that. He doesn't sit back and not be there one-on-one with us. He and Christ, who intercedes before us before the Father, the Spirit, who intercedes before us when we do not know what to say through prayer, is there. And we have been given power, as we talked about last week. We have been given power as of the same power that rose, that raised Christ from the dead. That power too dwells within us. Amen. And we can be confident to know that it does. I want to read you that verse actually in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17. Actually, no, 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, the greatness of his power that he did with Christ, he does with us. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come, and he put all things under his feet and gave him a head as head over all things to the church, us, the church, which is his body. Christ the head, the church, us the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We have been given power, great power, not weird, strange power, great power. The power that rose Christ from the dead has been given to you, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in the age but in this age but also in the one to come. 2,000 years ago, this was written, this letter, estimation, 2,000 years ago. We have this letter now that we're here reading together, seeing together, looking at together, and knowing that that power is there in our lives because of the work of Christ. I have moved a little bit away from my sermon the way I was wanting, or what I thought I wanted to present today. But the Lord knows what he wants and what he has for us. We have started to look at our blessings in Christ as we've looked into Ephesians. Some of you have not been here for Ephesians so far. You're here now, so that's good. And I'll give you a little overview, just so we know. And our blessing is in the heavenly places when we have believed, along with the sealed promise of the Holy Spirit. That's from 1:13. In hearing and believing the gospel, we have become God's possession, being chosen, predestined, adopted, redeemed, and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit alongside a guaranteed inheritance. And then we talked about last week, for this reason, in verse 15, for this reason, one of the reasons being a developing of skill and habits through being chosen. I don't know if you've ever really stepped back and thought about that. Chosen. You are chosen when you've believed. You are a chosen child now of God. Predestined and adopted. Predestined in the form that you are predestined that you will do what is pleasing in God's eyes because of the work of Christ for you. And adopted into the family of God. Redeemed and placed in the family of God. Redeemed by God. When you think about Ruth and Boaz, Ruth was redeemed. She went from nothing to greatness. And sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, a guarantee that we have an inheritance that awaits us after this life. Paul did not cease in his praying for spiritual guidance for the Ephesians in order that they could comprehend all the spiritual blessings that had been poured out onto them. That was in chapter 1. All the spiritual blessings, just what I just talked about too, being predestined and being adopted and being redeemed and being sealed and the promised Holy Spirit and the guaranteed inheritance that is there for us that we can hold on to. No one can take it away. Doesn't matter how many trials we face in our lives, the guaranteed inheritance that is there for us cannot be ripped away from us by some other man or some other woman because they try to destroy our lives with words or physically with other things. Paul did not cease to pray for his spirit, for their spiritual guidance, for the Ephesians' spiritual guidance, in order that they could comprehend all the spiritual blessings that had been poured out onto them through the Holy Spirit. The power that was given to them, to the Ephesians, is the power that we too do have when we believe in the risen Christ. Not only the Ephesians, but also us who believe, which I've just stated. Now in chapter 2, we are being reminded, which we've talked about a little bit here, of God's work through grace when we are dead in our trespasses. While we are dead in our trespasses, God, who is rich in mercy, shows his mercy. This is a type of present grace and then future grace. No longer bound by the grave. So that seed that is there didn't go away. When we share the gospel, sometimes we don't always see something great and magnificent happen, that someone changes right away, instantly. We may pass away, and then we hear stories, right, that people talk about, where someone had shared the gospel with someone, and then after that person had passed away, that other person that they had shared and given that seed to, it had come to life. That person acknowledged the grace of God. We all once lived without Christ. Every single person that is here today lived without Christ. Whether you were born into a Christian home or not, you all lived without Christ, where you were not one with Him. You're not born and saved. That's not the way it works. We're separated from God because of our own choosing, our own desire to want to be like God, our own desire to want to please ourselves. We all know a child desires to be pleased from a mother's breast, her milk. They want it. They desire it because they want to fill their bellies. We too all wanted that and desired that. Satan desired to be like God because of his own craftiness. He has chosen to be where he's at because he thought he was so crafty that he could be like God and be above God. Foolish Satan. He has been removed from his heavenly throne, his heavenly place, I should say, his heavenly place with God that he had. He was removed from it with his little minions. We've talked about this before, that run around. Satan, who is out there prowling like a lion, is cursed. Satan is not above us. He is not above Christ. He is there to try to deceive us. But we are tempted when we give in to our temptations come. But it's that we should not fall in and choose to go after the temptation. That is where the problem lies. And then we must come before God and we must repent. We must confess our sin. We must abide in Christ. In order to abide, we must understand our separation, our loss. We must abide in order to produce fruit. The fruit tree cannot produce any fruit if it does not abide. I believe we would all agree with that. Christ is the vine. God is the vine dresser. We are the branches. Did you know that it is possible for a tree to produce leaves without fruit? Just think about it with the Pharisees, who can look spiritual on the outside because of the leaves that are there, and it might look like a really good tree, but there's no fruit production. But instead, all that lives is death. I'm sure we've all seen trees that are rotten in the inside, but outside there's still leaves coming. There's still some branches that look pretty. But I don't believe that any vineyard that is here would want to leave those trees there. They would want to rip down the trees and plant new trees. So abide in Christ by remembering what He's done for us. I find it so interesting when you look at Ephesians and it talks about all the inheritance that is given to us, the redemption that is for us, the blessing that is for us because of the work of God, the choosing of us by God, that we would be like Christ because God chose for it to happen and chose for it to be so. And then we come, and then Paul says, I'm going to pray for you, Ephesians, still in chapter 1. But they've been told that they have an inheritance, that they have a possession, that they have a glory that is in the glory of God. And then he says, I'm going to pray for them, that they would understand this, they would comprehend this, they would be able to hold on to this and understand the truth of being a possession of God. And he wants them to know that they are, and not to forget that they are a possession of God, and that the power of God works in them as it does in us who believe. And then Paul goes into chapter 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Throws it out there and he kind of just leaves it there with them. In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So they've been given huge spiritual truths just before this in chapter 1. And Paul wanted to remind them again, saying, you know, you're coming to a big understanding here, realizing that you have been blessed by God through Christ, redeemed by God through Christ, adopted into the family of God, given redemption, an inheritance, an obtained inheritance. These are big truths, and we can become very prideful in thinking that we are something great separate from God in knowing all the good things that we have. Satan was beautiful when God created him. He chose to want to be like God. The Ephesians need prayer. We need prayer. We need God's help so that we do not become prideful, thinking that we're greater than God who gave us an inheritance. A good inheritance, a lasting inheritance, because an inheritance is there for us. For by grace you have been saved, verse 8 of chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works on any basis of ours by completing perfectly the law, because it is not possible. I believe we would all agree with that, and Scripture does tell us that there's no way that we can fully complete the law so that we are holy before God's eyes, because we will fail, because we're not perfect. Only one was perfect to do that, and that was Christ. And that is why he is our redemption. That is why he is our interceder before God, because of his work on the cross, his blood that was laid out for us. And when we partake in communion, we are remembering the work that he has done for us, and then checking ourselves to make sure that we're in the right place with God and with man before we partake in communion. Our good works are good works prepared by God, for God, and onto God. Our faith was laid before us by God, and may be uphill or downhill. The trials that we go through, the situations we go through, it might be uphill, downhill. It may be filled with a sword or a jagged stone. Childhood, for some, may be short, and some may have long years. Our life may be bound to a wheelchair, and it may be strenuous in activity. And we all have different places in our lives that we go through, all different trials. And I want to close with this. This is from the NLT translation. And it's from Colossians 1, 10 to 14. You can look in your Bibles too, but I'm just going to read from the NLT translation. See how big of a difference you can see in comparison to yours. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 to 14. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. I want to read it one more time to you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 to 14. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. May you be filled with joy. Always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Verse 13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Let's pray and then we'll sing together again. Father, I just thank you again for these words. I thank you for the scriptures that are so good to our soul. And when we neglect that time to spend in your word, we will feel it in our lives. We will feel the separation with you. We will feel the separation with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we will see our lack of desire to want to share the gospel. So I just ask that as we study the word, that you would show us how good it is to share the truth of your forgiveness that was given to us, an inheritance that we hold on to and that we have obtained not through our works, but through the work of Christ. Thank you that you have chosen all those who believe in you. And I ask if anyone is here today that has not believed in you, that they would confess their sins and believe in the work of Christ on the cross, and then desire to follow your ways by reading and studying the word and seeking after your goodness. And I ask that they would just remember that it won't be easy, but it'll be good because we know we have an inheritance that is with an eternal, with a perfect God for eternity. Thank you again for everyone that's here, and thank you that we have the voices that we can sing together now. In Jesus' name, amen.